With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, they don't let colorblind people, like, use fighter jets, but back in medieval times, before the little spot test, you could fly a dragon with an eye patch. There were no rules. Hello, listeners. Welcome to the number one fake history podcast, The Lore Boys, where we cover the old lore and the new. My name is James Miller, and who else is here today?
I cover the red fish, Ethan Palmer.
Bluefish Pete, Peter O'Donoghue, right over here.
Something old, something new, something red, something blue, something borrowed. Do we need that too?
Yeah, it's one fish, yeah. Two fish, borrowed fish, blue fish. It's for your wedding.
This one was
Can
requested.
You imagine having to give fish back to your in-laws? Like, thanks.
Yeah, this one was requested in Discord by Going to Mars and Jimbo. Go figure.
Yeah.
There's a couple other people who've talked about Game of Thrones and stuff in the subreddit, but not really explicitly asked for it. So it's just to no patrons asked for this one. So,
oh no,
this is one for people, for the free people.
This is okay. This is the Vox Populi episode.
A big thanks to some of our new patrons. I don't know if Pete got that one this time.
Yeah, I've got him up here. So welcome and thank you to Richard Rubber Sweater, which is my favorite one recently. I don't know how to say this one. It's either Evangle or Evangle, whatever. Thank you anyway. And then Tyler Mack. So
I like to
welcome.
Think it's Evan Glee.
Evan, yeah, that's true. I didn't consider that one.
So
anyway, thanks everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Thank you. Today's topic, I'm not sure like how to label it, of Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, House of Dragons. It's all that same universe.
I mean, George R. R. Martin wrote Elden Ring, so this is also an Elden Ring episode.
Yes.
Got him, dude.
For the SEO, yeah.
Never yes, not.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
You had a great one that we could probably use, a good acronym, which I'll find. Keep going. I'm sorry. I'll pull it out in a second.
Did you know what that was? That was exactly all of the, yeah. I think
it was Ice of Fire, House of Dragon, Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah. I just put them all together. Yeah. So I'm going to stay away from any major spoilers for the books, for the shows, for anything. We're just kind of going to talk about like the background of the world, the children of the forest, the first men, the Andals, the old gods and the new. It's kind of what we're covering today. We're gonna look a little bit about the map, talk probably about the families a little bit.
I mean, I did find your acronym. It is Soyav Hodgot, which I think is a pretty good, like, you know, you got the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think the House of Dragon and Game of Thrones now could be the Soyav Hodgot.
Soyjack Hodgot.
Yeah.
Soyjack Hobgoblin.
I'd watch it.
I'm Mr. Parker, I'm pretty based myself.
We kind of talked about it before the episode started, but like my experience with Game of Thrones is the first 2.5 seasons of the show, and that's it. So Jamie was priming us and saying like, oh, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about this guy. So don't bring him up. And me and Peter both just like, we have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I've actually seen the television show from like cover to cover. Sadly, I have not watched House of the Dragon. I know I found out at work that people I know worked on it. It was apparently a nightmare, but the show looks good and came out good. So there you go. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, from what it sounds like, every single thing that you guys work on is a nightmare. So
that is
all the time. Yeah.
I've read the 1.5 of the books. because I had a roommate who had all the books and I was reading it while we were living together, but we split like halfway through the second book.
When you stopped living together.
Yeah, exactly.
That's her door.
Scooter.
Oh, the Scooter? The Scooter had the books? Wow.
Scooter loved reading.
He loved reading and chugging Colt 45.
I had lived with five people. Sentence,
Scooter loved reading has ever been.
out of all my roommates, we were five guys living together. Ice loved Scooter the most, and I think it was because he was the most like an animal. So there's no spoilers and stuff. Song of Ice and Fire, it's all about an intermingling of a few main families to reach their own goals. And everybody kind of has different interests. That's what some of the more manipulative characters like Tyrion or Littlefinger are really good at doing, is figuring out what a family's interest is and playing off of that interest to serve your own self-interest. Which makes this whole Game of Thrones a struggle for power. Families just doing bad shit to each other.
I had heard that like the history of, at least the more modern history of Westeros, is based on the War of the Roses, which is like a real long historical event. I don't know if you're going to touch on that or some of the inspiration.
It's based on the War of the Roses, the Hundred Years' War, the Crusades, and the Albigensian.
I don't know. You tell me. You have the word in front of you.
I'm bringing it to you, so you do your best.
Albigensian
Crusade?
Yeah. But George R. R. Martin, a big history buff, big incest fan, and everything he writes has some type of incest, which is a little weird, but...
Yeah, I mean, he really like put the cherry on the incest cake with Elden Ring, where... And you don't even need a sister anymore. You can actually transform into your own husband and get yourself pregnant.
Yes, exactly. Right? Yeah, that's like, I don't even know what to call that whenever you're into yourself that much. Like a narcophile? I don't know.
Yeah, that's just a narcissist. Word. No?
Well, when it becomes a sexual nature.
I think it's a kids, fan, because like people who like music are audiophiles, aren't they? They're not like fucking records.
Oh, yeah.
Are they?
Well, that's why they put the hole in the middle.
Yeah.
You're probably like narcissosexual. Narcosexual? Narcosexual? Wait, no, that's different.
That's when you want to fuck cops.
No, that's bestiality, specifically with pigs. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, so, Martin took a bunch of medieval history and put it all together and put his own flair onto the world. I want to say something about the gods before we get too far into it, I guess. Gods in fantasy books can take a lot of different forms. Sometimes you can straight up meet a god and see their influence directly. That never happens in Martin's work. He always introduces gods in the way that we would kind of see them in our own history books. Like, you never actually meet a god in the pages, but you'll hear someone's accounting of a god, or every... Yeah. Chapters also through a character's eyes. That's his style of writing. Like, it'll be
it's low fantasy, right? Which I think what didn't jive with me. Like, I'm a big fantasy guy, I guess, but I really enjoy high fantasy, where it's like the gods are like the stranger on a bus, you know what I mean? And just one of us, and like magic is like spells are big, like they are in Game of Thrones, but they're also small, and like I can just start a fire by snapping my fingers or whatever, which doesn't happen too much in Game of Thrones.
Right. And like we think of something like Malazan, where like the magic is kind of explained through the use of warrens. There is kind of like, sure, there is magic, like unexplainable stuff to it, but there is a system and and rules. And when it comes to Game of Thrones magic,
almost, yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to Game of Thrones magic, it's like, it happens sometimes. It depends who you're talking to. Everybody remembers it a little different. And,
It's got a lot, like a lot of low fantasy. It's kind of like, and the fact that George R. R. Martin is somewhat of a history buff and clearly is like very directly inspired by these things you read, the Albigensian Crusade and War of the Roses and Hundred Years' War. Like, clearly, it's like almost you could read the book as though these tales of magic are like a historical account where like, they chalked it up to magic, but if you know a different historian through a different lens might might be able to explain it better as not magic or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And he said that directly in an interview that he will never, you'll never run into a god face to face. You'll only ever hear about his accounts through somebody else. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like kind of like lightly magic guys. I guess before we get into it, there's that one guy who can't die and like whatever the bright god or something keeps him alive and he can light a sword on fire with magic and shit, right?
Right.
There's a but red then, lady who has a smoke baby.
Yeah, so that's one of the gods I said I wouldn't talk about, and you guys said you didn't know. That's like the Lord of Flame, Lord of Light. His whole thing, before just broad strokes, is he's against the great unknown god, who is basically the ice god, and then the Song of Ice and Fire. It's like the whole thing is like the long night is coming, winter is coming. You don't have to have seen or read Game of Thrones to know that phrase. Yeah. It's because there's always the threat of a winter that'll come, that'll be last years and years, that'll come basically with frost zombies.
Some kind of thimble winter, you could say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was just going to say. Kind of talked about it in our God of War episode. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a bunch of stuff to goes into the Long Night. There's the Azor Ahai, which is like the prince who is promised. That ends up being Jon Snow in the show. Not a huge spoiler. It's the reason he kind of comes back. And
I mean, the show like finished years ago and everyone needed it. I don't think anybody is going to be like, hey, this thing that everyone is down on, like, I'm going to start this in 2023, right? Like,
yeah, he kind of comes back as like a Christ figure. And he's the prince who's promised, who's going to bring an end to the Long Night. But those are all gods that aren't even considered the old gods or the new.
Right.
They're just they're other like outer gods kind of mingling in the world.
And George Martin added again, Jon Snow is just like, well, you know, what if Jesus fucked his aunt? And that's why.
That's not a bad George Martin.
That's why Jon Snow hangs Daenerys.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of know what he talks like. I think I've heard, again, like most of my impressions now are just impressions Nick Mullen already did on the Adam Friedland show, because doing an impression of an impression is the best way to start. Right. But yeah, he does have a very like, it's just sort of like weird, like Northern American accent, right?
Yeah, wearing like one of those British hats and like suspenders and stuff. And,
oh, the flat cap. I call it Irishman up to no good hat.
Irishman up to no good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's called a wedge.
Okay. Yeah. So another god we're not going to talk about is the Drowned God. That's in the Iron Islands. The Greyjoys love the Drowned God.
Right.
The way that the Drowned God works, like you're to get into the church, what you do is you go down to the shore and someone holds your head under the water till you literally drown. And then they give you CPR. And if you come back to life, they say, "What? Those who are dead cannot die." And you become part of the Drowned God because you actually drown. And a lot of people die during this. But
yeah, presumably. Presumably most. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that to the Jack Sparrow that they introduce in like season 7 or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, Euron Greyjoy. So. Okay, yeah. He comes in and he's just like a badass, like sailor, and he brings a fleet to Cersei Lannister, which is like evil queen. I'll do anything to protect my kids, even if it means killing every person in the world, kind of person. So these two types of people come together, and Euron Greyjoy brings the fleet that can hopefully take down a dragon. But Euron in the books is way fucking cooler. I almost wanted to do the episode on him, but I felt it was too specific of a topic to jump in on.
Okay.
But he like deals with the Drowned God, and he's like aiming to sacrifice enough lives to turn himself into like a Cthulhu type monster of the sea that just becomes immortal and shit. Like
that rules.
Euron Greyjoy way cooler in the books.
Okay. Well, cooler when you consider that it probably wouldn't have worked, and he probably just would have like sacrificed hundreds of people for nothing, right?
Yeah. It's a good point. Yeah. But anyways, I that kind of stuff is getting way ahead of what we're gonna do.
You're on in the future. That sounds dope.
Yeah. So first off, just to give a sense of the world, let's pull up the map and kind of talk about what we're working with.
I know the North. I know Winterfell. I know the Wall.
Yeah,
Castle Black. I know King's Landing.
So for scale, we have Westeros on the west side, then Essos on the east side. Westeros is about the size of South America, George R. R. Martin tells us.
Okay.
So you can kind of...
Way bigger than you think because it's shaped like England. So you assume it's the size of England.
It's shaped exactly like England. Yeah.
Yeah.
He cut whales out in his defense.
Well,
and he made Scotland too big.
Yeah.
But so there's like no Ireland. I guess that's also an improvement, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the best way to bring this from a a picture to a voice format, but at the very top is Beyond the Wall, and it's like the ice part. This is like where all the children of the forest now live and stuff. They're up all there behind.
I think
Beyond
that's also based on a real thing. Like Rome built Hadrian's Wall because they were like trying to fight the Celts, and they were just like, these guys are crazy, keep them out of England. And then they built a wall between England and Scotland, basically.
Oh, it's wow.
Hadrian's Wall, yeah. It's not made of ice and or anything like that, but in the England shape thing with the wall at the top is real.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Just south of the wall and all the space beyond the wall is the north. So that's where Winterfell is. This is where we meet House Stark. That's the Ned Stark. What's the actor's name that always dies?
Sean Bean.
Yeah. This is where most of the people you follow in Game of Thrones hail from, because you're usually following the storylines of one of the Starks, or among other things, but a lot of the time one of the Starks.
Yeah. Some of the main characters.
Yeah.
A lot of the more influential families.
If
you're
not
like the good guys.
Yeah. If you're not following them, you're following like what somebody's doing to them, essentially, right? Like a lot of, this is going on my 2.5 seasons of knowledge, basically. But a lot of Tyrion's story is like dealing with Sansa, or, you know, dealing with, you know, the wolf is like dealing with Arya, even though it's like might be following the story of Tyrion. It is like him interacting with Sansa is kind of like a MacGuffin for like other people's stories, where she's just like is a prisoner or is a hostage or whatever, and just has to kind of like bargain with different houses so those different houses get their stories.
Yeah, she comes into her own too. Like at one point, she's the Lady of Winterfell, and there's no one else to watch the city, and she like really steps up.
Yeah.
Just below the north is like probably the biggest of all the provinces.
Yeah, for sure.
I
do want to point out that the wall does not cover the entire thin part of the continent. If you had a boat, you could still attack everybody.
Oh, so the White Walkers, the things that they're worried on the wall, don't swim.
Okay.
And they don't boat, really. I'd never seen them on a boat. Maybe they do at some point, but maybe the one that they took all the way down to King's Landing to prove that. Because it's like the Long Night comes so infrequently that by the time the generation that the Long Night's about to happen to, they just don't believe in it anymore. Oh, that's all like old grandma tales.
Gobbledygook.
Yeah.
That's just ice zombie mumbo jumbo, dude. Come on.
Exactly.
Ice Mothman? Come on. Ice Bigfoot? Not real.
Yeah. just south of the north is the Riverlands. That's kind of connects to the north. And the Riverlands on either side have the Westerlands and the Vale. The Vale be on the east, and Westerlands on the left. The Westerlands have
the Westerlands to the west. Come on,
yeah,
on the left.
East or left? Yeah, it's cardinal points of a map.
It's south left of Winterfell. House Lannister is like Casterly Rock is on the west side. I don't know why, but from watching the shows, I always thought it was on the east side. But Casterly Rock's on the west side. The Eyrie or the Vale, that's like the little kid who has the door that he likes to throw people down.
Oh, that's where
Tall Castle with hole in floor.
Yeah.
That's where Robb Stark's wife is from, right? That's where her family's from.
She's from, I think, the Riverlands is the Tully, but her sister becomes the Queen of the Vale.
Okay.
To Aerons. The Aerin is the male.
No, it's Ned Stark's wife, not Robb. Did you say Robb?
Oh, maybe I did. Yeah,
Ned Stark's wife. Yeah. Ned Stark's wife, Catelyn Stark, or Catelyn Stark, is a Tully from the Riverlands, and her sister's also from the Riverlands, but married to be the Queen of the Vale.
Right.
And Aaron dying, her husband dying, kicks off everything in Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And it's thought that that it was the Lannisters killed the King of the Vale to kind of set them off balance, to make
isn't
some power
play. Isn't it Robert Baratheon dying that kicks it all off?
No.
No, he leaves a power vacuum for his fucked up son to take over because he gets allegedly gored by like a wild pig.
A boar, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Robert never would have been in the North if it hadn't have been for the death of the Aaron, his own, and then also Brandon Stark being pushed from a window also causes like chain reaction effects that lead to Robert staying longer than he needs to, which makes him stay for the hunt. There's a lot of theories around Brandon Stark because he can warg into animals, which is like see through the eyes of animals. And then he also gets tied up with a three-eyed raven who can also time travel and see through the eyes of animals. So and Brandon Stark becomes the king like at the very end or whatever. That's kind of a spoiler.
At the end of the show, of course. The book have not been and will never be written. George R. R. Martin will die. Just so we know, this obese man who's 75 is not finishing these books. The last one came out in like 1999. Okay.
Yeah. So like all these fan theories, if there's an animal involved even at all, it could be said that Brandon Stark is manipulating time from the past. So it's like maybe Brandon needed Robert to die for him to eventually become the three-eyed raven to whatever. So it could be Brandon in the future taking control of a boar, gutting the Baratheon. Yeah,
gutting the king.
Yes, but there's a million things that Brandon could have done. So that gets really muddy. Until J.R.R. Martin actually tells us that he did any of these things, we can just only guess. But so we have
books end with Jon Snow being stabbed to death. He's not even resurrected in the books yet.
Yeah, he might not be. We don't know.
He might not be in the books at all.
Right. Yeah. So we have Beyond the Wall, working our way south, goes to the north with Winterfell and a bunch of other small towns. Then we have Riverlands just underneath with Vale to the right and West to the left, Westerlands to the left, with Khaleesi Lark. Below that, we have the Reach, which is House Tyrell. This is Margaery Tyrell, who becomes the queen after Sansa. Joffrey and Sansa were supposed to be together, but her father is called a traitor. So then things get changed, and one of the Tyrells goes up to marry Joffrey in King's Landing, which is the Crown Lands, which is right below the Riverlands and the Vale.
That's the Tulip people or the Flower people.
This is the Flower people. There's the gay son in the show.
Right.
From Loras.
Loras, exactly.
Yeah.
Then there's the Stormlands to the right. The Stormlands used to go all the way up to the top of the Crown Lands, but part of the Stormlands was kind of transformed into what is King's Landing now by the Targaryens sometime in the past. We'll talk about Targaryens being the dragon people.
It took me a second, then I remembered that, and then I was like, oh, the reason why it took me so long is because they obviously don't have a realm, because their persona is non grata, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. They came over from Essos at some point, which we'll talk about. Basically, we're going to talk about everything up until House of Dragons, which is kind of where that starts off, is when they came over and took over King's Landing.
Okay.
But yeah, the Targaryens are like silver-haired, purple eyes. They're the most in tune with dragons. There's some interspecies mingling in Essos if you look deep enough. So there is a theory that Targaryens like are part dragon, like they fuck dragons sometime way back when.
Yeah, I mean, they're like also donkey. Like severely inbred too.
It's kind of like donkey.
Yeah, so they're like they can walk through dragon fire and like not be burned and stuff. Like if you remember Daenerys, I think like early in season 2 does that kind of stuff.
Yeah, when she
it's
gets
the last episode of the first season is the eggs, right?
Right, yeah, and then you see the little baby dragons crawl onto the shoulders, and then bum 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 ba da ba. Yeah, exactly.
Iconic theme song.
Yes.
Yeah.
I rewatched it recently, and I was whistling it to myself like constantly. Yeah. It was really good. And then all the way south is Dorne. This is like sandy areas. The guy in The Last of Us, Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
Right.
He's from Dorne.
Yeah,
he's like from House Martell.
He gets his eyeballs exploded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he goes up against the mountain and because his sister got killed, sexually assaulted, and her pregnant child was miscarried because of the mountain.
Right. Yes.
And
she was a giant guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And then so he went up against the mountain to save Tyrion, because Tyrion demanded a trial by combat. And anyways, you get to watch Pedro Pascal do a really big showy fight, and it's fucking awesome. Say you killed her. Say you raped her. Say you killed her son. And like, and he wouldn't do it. And it's very, very epic.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's kind of Westeros from north to south. And then we have Essos, which is to the east, or to the west, right, I should say.
To the west.
Yeah. Yeah. To the wilds.
Yeah, to the west.
Yeah, so that's just to give you an overall kind of sense of the world, of where we are. Kind of give you a refresher on some of those families and remember some of those big moments from the show, because I know a lot of you probably have seen it. And if you haven't, that's okay, because we're about to dive into the prehistory.
Very good.
Yeah. So the first inhabitants of the continent, like before anyone got there, these are the oldest known people in the Song of Ice and Fire.
Adam and Eve. Nailed it.
Children of the Forest.
Adam and Eve? Whoa. Who knew? George R. R. Martin's a progressive.
Yep. They they're nature worshiping. They're from the Stone Age in this story.
Okay.
And they're an anthropoid species who carved the faces of their gods in weirwood trees.
Right. Cool.
Yep. So weirwood trees used to be from north to south, like maybe not in Dorne because it doesn't look like much grows there, but everywhere else you could find these weirwood trees. They were native to all of Westeros. But sometime later, Bronze Age human settlers, known as the First Men, migrated from Essos via a land bridge at the southeastern end of the continent, and they gradually
spread out.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Whereas this is kind of like us in North America here. That's what they say about the north left of the continent, right? Is the Bering Strait.
Yes. When you say it, I can see Essos giving the Russia vibes. Like this very long, huge continent, right?
And there's like kind of a Chinese shaped part and kind of a subcontinent like Sri Lanka and India shaped part too, right?
Yeah. Essos is very cool. Most of the stuff that we know about, like I almost wanted to do the weirdest stuff in the corners of Essos kind of thing.
Okay.
Because there is really cool stuff, and all of it is like from the eyes of grandmaesters, which are like the scholars of the world.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of you have to take a leap of faith and just like, this is, you're seeing through the grandmaster's eyes and hearing through his lens. So some of the shit that you're hearing probably is not true, but it's really cool. It's really fantastical. So
yeah.
It's great fun.
I've always liked, when we've talked about this on the show before, I like that like unreliable narrator point of view a lot, especially in like with world building, less so with plot, obviously, because it can be really frustrating sometimes when it's like the plot reveal is because the author specifically wrote some character telling you the opposite thing, and then you're like, okay, well, sure, I guess it's not that. But for world building, I think it's super cool, because again, it's kind of twofold world building, where it's like you're building this myth that this person's talking about in this distant part of the world that you can't see and experience, but you can also kind of gather this like sense of how the people here regard that myth just based on like how that person's telling it, right? If he's saying like, oh, it's ridiculous or ludicrous, why is he saying that? Is it because like he believes in his gods over here and they would never allow that, or is it like, you know, just like, oh, he's super scientific, they're super scientific over here, and you know, they don't believe in those kind of myths over there.
It's like a fantasy Marco Polo, where it's just like some guy saw something and then exaggerated when he got back, right?
Exactly. And yeah, speaking of Marco Polo and going back to the Russia or Asia continent, I guess the Dothraki are explicitly the Mongolians, right? Like it's specifically Genghis Khan or the Khans of Eastern Asia, right?
They're desert horse people.
Yeah
And they fight through like their hierarchy is completely through strength. Like the leader, like if anyone can challenge the leader to combat at any time, and if you lost in combat, you have to cut off your braid. So they grow their hair until they lose in combat. So if someone has a braid down to their butt, you know, they've been not losing a whole lot in their life. And it's completely by power. So if I'm stronger than you, I'm more fit to lead than you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Bronze Age human settlers, they come in. There's a bunch of children of the forest who you meet in the show far north with Brandon. They're like the people who help along the three-eyed raven.
Okay.
They're able to fight off the folks north of the wall, like the White Walkers somehow. They're able to hide like dens from the White Walkers. They have some type of ancient magic kind of thing that
it protects them.
Yeah, they're able to push back from that type of stuff.
In the show,
probably the like old god.
Little kind of like leafy hobbits, basically. They're
yeah
small little people, right? And then they can, and they're like green skin and like little leaf tunics and shit like that. And yeah, they have like kind of like magic grenades, at least in the show, that they can blow up and kill the undead with. Where normally you need like specific magic metal to kill the undead.
Exactly. You need dragon glass to kill the undead or
fire.
Oh,
volcanic glass. That's true. Yeah. Obsidian, basically. Yeah.
Dragon glass, dragon's breath, or fire, anything right like that would kill them. But they have like a really cool moment in the show. Like the first time, I think Jon Snow is fighting against, Valyrian steel is the other thing that does it.
Yeah. The magic metal.
Yeah. So he's fighting, and he doesn't expect his sword to do anything because his previous sword shattered whenever he clashed with the White Walker. But this time, he like managed to deke out the first hit and hit the White Walker, and it just like falls to pieces. And you're like, they can be killed. Holy shit. Yeah. And yeah, all of a sudden there's hope. And yeah, it's very cool. So yeah, the first men came over and they did what men do. They started chopping down the weirwood forests.
Kill all the hippies.
Yeah. And this led to a millennia-long war. So, like, very, very long ago, there was, like, super long war between the children of the forest and the first men. But then they eventually agreed to something called the Pact, which is men, stay the fuck out of the forests. You could live away from the trees. And at this point, the trees still are almost all the way through Westeros, and the men are just living in pockets like around the trees.
Okay, yeah.
And they even started worshiping the old gods, which are the faces in the weirwood trees and this ancient magic that that the children of the forest have always worshipped. What that is, super not clear. All we know is that lives with the children of the forest in the deep, deep past. The faces in the weirwood trees are kind of like shrines to whatever this old god is. This is the beginning of the Age of Heroes, when the first men adopted the religion of the children of the forest, like I said, and these gods became the old gods. They're a pantheon of innumerable unnamed spirits of nature. So what we do know is it's not just one, it's many, 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 and there's probably a god of rocks, probably a god of water, there's probably a god of leap, probably a god of taking a dump in the woods, you know,
the god of bears, the bear god.
Yeah.
So a god of bears implies the existence of a god of twinks then, right?
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what kind of tree do I have to to bark up for that?
It's like the
they worship wood, right?
Yeah. It's a tree with a face carved into it is winking, basically.
Yeah.
There's a handkerchief carved into a pocket on the back of the tree. You're like, oh, this is the shrine for me, baby. Let's go.
There's like these faces carved into the wood, and you have to go and like make offerings to them, one of which is like a ball gag that you tie around the trunk.
Okay, so we've left the Age of Heroes, now we're in the Age of Cruising, right? Like that's the next part of history.
The Age of MILF Manor.
Ah, beautiful.
That's not a birch tree, that's a bitch tree.
No.
All right. So they practice, like, how do you show your faith? They don't have ceremonies, they don't have holy texts, hierarchies of priests, structures of worship, none of that stuff. But they have quiet contemplation in God's wood.
Quantum
in Groundwoods. Small areas of the forest which have been enclosed in the castle's walls. Sorry.
So the 7-year old kid is now hosting our Game of Thrones episode.
Thank God. Yeah.
Worship in the Godswood is centered on Howard trees. No. So they have heart trees, which are great weirwood trees with a face carved into the bark. And they have all of these forests closed off by castle walls, the especially holy ones. So why would you go there if you just want to be quiet and kind of contemplate with the old gods? There's a scene where Ned kind of just is hanging out by a tree trying to figure out what to do next. There's the same thing with Catelyn. She goes up to an old god tree and she's carving what looks like a dream catcher. And this is for the faith of the seven. So she was praying to the old gods and the new at the same time.
Right. Okay.
And the faith of the seven, we will handle when it comes up. But right now, it's all old gods, baby.
Okay. Old gods, yeah. More like only gods. Subscribe to our only gods channel.
Yeah, they pass around a hat. And you have to put like $2 in.
Priest is just doing ASMR at the podium. Yeah. The
Godswoods. Godswoods.
Yeah. You pay your tithe to the church and the tree just like vibrates for 30 seconds.
You donate your bits and you can write your name in Sharpie on the tree.
Oh my god, it's so disrespectful for the old gods. It's like a weirwood tree and he's just got like signs on his face. Can't move. Yeah. Why would you go in front of a heart tree? This is like for worship or especially oaths and promises. You might remember John gets sent north of the wall to serve the black, which is to make sure that the north is safe, just to guard the wall. And whenever he gets sworn into the black, he has to go north of the wall to go in front of one of these really, really old weirwood heart trees.
Yeah.
So him, marriage, in the case of marriage, the bride is brought before the weirwood. I'm not sure why the husband doesn't have to promise in front of the gods, but the wife does.
It's medieval times.
So John swears to the old gods, like, basically in life, I'll serve the black, but he kind of gets a cheat code because he gets killed and resurrected. So until death do us part, you know what I mean? As soon as he gets killed, he's free to go where he wants. And that's when he starts to meet Daenerys and stuff like that.
Okay.
Divorce my wife any percent. Let's use the death glitch.
Exactly. Yeah. So now we're about 8,000 years before the events of the novels or the show right now.
Okay.
And an Arctic humanoid species called the Others emerged from the land of the Always Winter, which is far north. And we have something called the Long Night, which is 8,000 whole years ago. The children of the forest and the first men ally up to repel the Others and then build the wall from the far north. So a lot of people died, but enough survived to keep humanity going because we still have humans 8,000 years later.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Spoilers to the very concept of the show. Yeah, there are people.
Game of Thrones, and it's just like a stationary throne for like an hour. An hour, yeah. Boom, boom. HBO classic.
Yeah. maybe I'm jumping ahead here, and I apologize if so. But it really feels like, and this is a very human move, I guess, because you mentioned that the trees are kind of covering the continent. So clearly men are going to start cutting down the trees and being like, well, we're not living in the forest as per the agreement. And
they're
allying up and building this wall. Then they drive them like north, like the children of the forest, north of that wall too. And are like, oh, tough shit. I guess you're up there with the White Walkers.
I'm going to fully give you the context after the break, but no, this group of men is okay.
Okay.
Are the first men are more like probably like the Aboriginals or First Nations that we had in North America, where they're cool with nature, they're not really looking to ruin nature.
They don't have all that awful industry going on just quite yet.
Yeah.
Exactly, because these are the Bronze Age folks that came over and stumbled into the Stone Age folks. But
right.
Gotcha.
We're going to meet the Iron Age humans a little bit after the break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. What a great break, huh?
It was a great break. Wow.
I listened to an ad for posterity.
I took a nap.
Yep.
Took an ad for everything.
Yeah. We left in such a nice place. Like the first men and the children of the forest, they all get along.
They're getting along. They drove back to White Walkers called the Outsiders? The Others?
Yeah. What do you call them? The Others. The Others, yeah.
In the books, aren't they never referred to as the White Walkers? I feel like I heard that as like trivia at some point, where in the book, they're always just called the Others.
I feel it's been so long. It was the same year I got ice whenever I was reading these, so it would have been 10 years ago. And I can't remember. I think it was written just because I know how to spell white, like W-I-G-H-T, and I don't think I would have gotten that from the show.
Oh.
Wait. It's spelled like that?
I think so, isn't it?
Like a white,
no,
like the monster?
It's not.
No.
It's not. It's called white, like the color white. Apparently in the book by George R. R. Martin, The World of Ice and Fire, they're called Walkers.
Okay.
But is a companion to the book of Song of Ice and Fire?
Oh.
I don't know. Okay. They're called, also known as White Walkers, Cold Gods, White Shadows, and Cold Shadows.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know we keep referring to the show when talking about the prehistory, and like obviously it's fair to assume most people have seen the show. Mm-hmm. But just in case, it's like all these characters are characters in a television show that has been on for a decade at this point. If you don't know who Catelyn or Ned are, primary characters in the TV show, and we're talking about the prehistory.
Yeah, and White Walkers or the Others are snow zombies.
Exactly.
But, and we keep north of the wall, and they're a constant timer. So it kind of... there's always political struggles, especially down south towards where the castle is.
Where you forget about the impacts of climate change when you don't live in, you know, subcontinental India.
Yeah, exactly.
that's it. Yeah. Like while you're at your local whatever, like rallying for an M&M not to have heels. There is an imminent threat. Like we gotta stop fooling around.
Yeah, right.
The zombies are to us the torrential rain that just keeps coming for some reason. I don't understand. They're the slowly worsening hurricanes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if we mentioned the wall they built. Kind of just casually again, like talking as if like everybody knows what the fuck I'm talking about. It's like a 1,000-foot tall wall of ice. That built using like magic, basically, and the collaboration of these societies. Just in case we were talking a little too familiar, as if everybody is familiar with what we're talking about earlier.
It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like in Essos, and there's a in the distant past too. There's like full on ice dragons that are made of ice, and have ice powers, so like that could have came into play for building the wall because it's so fucking massive. And how did people do it?
Is there one in the show?
So that one is a resurrected.
Yeah,
it's one of Daenerys's dragons.
Okay,
gets taken down and it falls into the lake, and the White Walker resurrects it, and it is kind of like icy undead. But that one still has bones. The ice dragons from the distant past.
are never before.
Yeah, they're never really found because they melt.
Oh, that's a great Marco Polo story. It's like they have dragons made of ice, and no, you can't see it because he's dead and melted.
That's another
I brought you this plastic bag of water as proof.
The goldfish in it.
Yeah. Yeah, Marco Polo goes to the pet store in Essos.
I need a goldfish. Okay, you got a tank to take care of it? No, I'm just going to dump the goldfish out. I actually just need a bag of water. Buys a goldfish, bring a bag of water.
Dude, when I was a kid, they would sell goldfish at the pet store near me for 25 cents. It might have been cheaper to get a bag of water by buying a goldfish than buying a bottle of water. Yeah.
I mean, with inflation and all this climate change policy, a bag now is 20 cents. So frankly, the goldfish was a good deal back in the day. It was still cheaper to get and throw away a goldfish, frankly.
Yeah. I just had a whole graveyard of them in my backyard because I just needed water or bags.
You're like so anti-climate change, buying hundreds of goldfish just for the bags.
Nestle's going to be the ones to invent time travel. It's just so they can go back in time and buy affordable bags of goldfish water.
Yeah, that Swiss fuck's going to be out there saying goldfish aren't a human right soon.
Yeah, so it is a massive wall. That ice dragon story, it is one of the stories from the Maesters. So is it true? We don't know. But that's fine.
We don't know. Let it be.
They're trying to sex up history a bit.
None of it's true. It's all make believe because it's a fantasy world.
Also fair.
Yep.
Loreboy's canon, whatever you, the listener, think is the cooler one, that these are made up stories or that these are real stories, that's what's true.
Yeah. Because they're all made up stories.
Yeah, exactly. Read the book however you want. Read the book however you want. I don't care. Yep. Change all the characters' names. Make it so that Ned lives. I don't care.
Yeah, so we have peace right now. The First Men, the Children of the Forest, they had their own war. Then they shook hands. They're like, we'll share the forest. You can just throw your brides in when you need them to tell a promise. And
you want to make sure they're chased. We got a guy.
And everything's cool. Then they fight off all the others, or the whites, or the White Walkers. And here we are in a peacetime. But sometime later, some Iron Age humans from Essos. So we got stone and bronze set up. They're not quite ready for the Iron Age yet. Called the Andals or Andals. Invaded Westeros. And they bring along with them the Faith of the Seven. So... Andals, like, who is one that's a descendant from an Andal? Is the guy who is with Daenerys. So Daenerys, the mother of dragons, she has someone who follows her around, is in love with her, and is also kind of like an advisor named Jorah Mormont.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's Mormont. His name's Jorah, for sure.
Sounds right. Yeah, it's Ser Jorah is the guy, yeah.
Sounds fantasy enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, it's not like a name I recognize, so Jamie did just make it up out of whole cloth. Like, Jorah Mormont. Like, all right.
And I know he always introduces himself as Jorah Mormont, first of the Andals, guardian to the Queen of Dragons. And so I think his lineage goes all the way back to the first of the Andals that invaded Westeros. Yeah.
He kicks ass, too. After the books ended and the guys who are very good at adaptation but very bad at writing took over, they just made him King Simp. He stopped killing people, never defended her again, and basically just was sad he couldn't fuck her because she was fucking her nephew. And so he didn't get to do much by the end of it. And then dies. So,
cool. Yeah. His whole thing is, like, he loves her so much, and she's not always the greatest to him. Like, he lies to her in a couple cases, but it is to keep her safe. And like, he's communicating with Varys, you know, the eunuch, the bald kind of chubby dude who hangs out by the throne all the time.
Yeah, he's like a spy master or something, right?
Yeah, yes. Varys.
He bribes orphans, I think.
Like, exactly. Yeah, this is little birds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he calls those little birds, but he just basically gives children chocolate all over the globe to tell them secrets and stuff. And
okay.
Yeah. Good racket. Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A kindly bald eunuch gave me this Kit Kat to spy on the queen.
Yeah. At one point in the show, what's his face? Like, the Grand Maester that gets kicked out, who turns the mountain into the zombie because he, like, messes with, like, dark magic a little bit too much.
Myself?
Yeah, Tycel, yeah. He's like the creepy scientist guy. He like Varys jumps ship to go with Dany at one point, and Tycel takes over the little birds at one point.
Oh, too. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, show shit. So
yeah, it's show stuff. Yeah. But just to say, Varys and Jorah are communicating because they want the queen to come in because the Lannisters kind of suck.
Yeah.
But then Dany finds out that Jorah's been communicating with people about her and then like kicks him out, and he gets like stone arm shit, like becoming a stone man because there's like a stone flesh type of.
Yeah, he gets magic leprosy at one point.
Yeah, exactly. And then Samwell Tarly, while he's trying to become
a maester,
a grand maester, ends up being able to help him and all this stuff. But there's a million things that happen in this show. So,
anyways. Yeah, I just want to say, as the person in the room who hasn't watched the show and doesn't really know who you guys are talking about, the names, I'm like offended that it takes you so much mental energy to remember the name Tezzeret. Jamie, because like you just have like all these names like on such lock, and every time we do like any two episodes in a row that I host, you're like, I don't fucking know what a magic is.
The difference is like I haven't gone back and listened to your episodes after the fact. I feel like it's like I read the book twice,
dozens of hours of
I've read the book twice. The first two books almost. I've watched the show almost three times through. Yeah, so
yeah,
it's. It's in there, but I do remember Tezzeret now. I just took a few times.
Yeah.
And David
was in love with Andy. Yeah.
I knew that his last name sounds like his last name sounds like it's Kai. You said it earlier, and I can't remember.
Yeah, but Sam Tarly wants to be forgot that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm also I listen to a lot of the lore videos. Sometimes when I'm playing Isaac and stuff, I'll just put one of these on. They're soothing.
Was it Alt Shift X?
I forget the name now. I should have.
Can't even remember that name. But Sam Tarly wants to be a maester.
So Ondels, they come over. They have the tech. They have the iron. They're above the Bronze Age. They come rolling in, and just like a game of Civilization, since they're a couple knocks up on the skill tree, they just start killing. A bunch of children of the forest. They're chopping down the faces, the trees with the faces on them, because they believe in the faith of the seven, not the old.
Well, this tree looked at me sideways. Take it down.
Yeah, they have iron axes.
I'm not trying to look at you sideways. I just can't move my face to look at you.
Yeah, like carved with a sarcastic face. It's like, and then this tree started a war because a leprechaun carved a sarcastic face into it 1,000 years ago.
But that's a story from the maester, so we don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah. I was going to say, I really do like the fact that there is like a different technology class of human that comes over to take over things, because obviously that's happened in real history a million times.
Yeah.
The thing I don't find believable is the fact that Westeros is so fucking huge that none of these people managed to invent iron and all the technology is coming from off-island.
Well, no. Like, the Native Americans and, like, the South Americans didn't have iron, right? When they were invaded?
I guess that's true. That was a lack of domesticated animals. Never mind. Yeah, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, what the...
Different technologies.
No pointy sticks in Westeros.
I think like even the like all of Asia and Europe having it, I think is through trade. Like I think that technology was probably traded from somewhere, right? Like it's probably not that all these different peoples independently discovered it as well. It's just that they traded the secrets, right? Iron working at some point.
Yeah, so we had that the long night 8,000 years ago, and then X amount of years later, we don't know, Ondals come over. They start killing forest people. They start killing the people who don't agree with them. The First Men, some of them, but they also kind of integrated into society as well. Not all of them fought.
I have from the wiki, 6,000 years ago, they invaded. So about 2,000 years after the 8,000 years, the long night, I guess. But there's no source or reference there, so I don't know how to do it.
Yep, that's a good guess as any. So
6,000 years ago, after allegedly receiving visions from the seven-faced god.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, the way that things set, after all of that fighting and stuff, and I'm not sure the exact timestamp on this too, but it is before the show by a good chunk. I think at least, because let me see when the Targaryens come in. 300 years before the novels begin. So this is at least before the Targaryens came.
Okay.
But it could be as long as like the 6,000 years ago. Honestly, I'm not sure.
Yeah, on the Andals page on the wiki, it says like Andals, and it's set up like a Wikipedia page. And that picture is the Lannisters, actually. So,
okay.
And it says like most of the population of Westeros is of Andal descent, but I guess not the Targaryens.
No. Yeah. The Targaryens come a little bit later, exactly. So, like, as it stands, after the Andals and the First Men have their clash, everything kind of settles. It's, like you said, mostly Andals. We have the Kingdom of the North. So if you're looking at the map again, the House Stark already has Winterfell. Like, ancient Starks, like, way before.
Okay.
And the Kingdom of the Isles and the Rivers, that's kind of like the Iron Islands also moving inland. That is the House Hoar of Harrenhal.
Sure. John Jacob Bingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah. Later, that'll be the Greyjoys of the Tullys. It'll take over that area. And then the Kingdom of the Mountain and the Vale. This is House Arryn and the Eyrie. This is the Sky Door where the kid throws down. Already the Arryns are there. Casterly Rock. Already the Lannisters. The Storm Kingdom, which doesn't actually have King's Landing. Doesn't exist yet.
Okay.
But the Storm Kingdom's a little bit bigger, and that's House Durandon of Storm's End, but later would become Crown's Land, and basically whoever holds the crown holds that area.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Kingdom of the Reach. Crown Land
is part of Ontario as well.
There's a place I know in Ontario.
Marine Land, who's the king there?
Yeah. Dude, yeah, we talked about that last night. We're going to take a week off and go to Marine Land, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
A whole week. You need a week to see it all. Yeah, then there's Kingdom of the Reach. That's ruled by House Gardener of Highgarden back then, but that'll be the Tyrells, the flower people that we talked about a little bit later.
Cool.
And Dorne, already House Martells. By the way, Dorne is the only kingdom to not fully give in to the Andals, the only kingdom to not fully give in to the Lannister, the Lannisters too, to not fully give in to the Targaryens. Dorne's always kind of like Quebec in the way that it's separate, okay, distinct. Yeah. It stands for itself and fuck everybody who's not from here.
But in the show, they have the finest princesses in the land too, at least. Yeah. And presumably Pascal, handsome fella as well.
Yeah. Presumably they have less of an interest in taking the crown too, right? Like,
oh yeah, totally.
From the little that I've seen, they seem like less engaged in the quote unquote Game of Thrones, and like that probably is where they're like, well, you guys can't boss us around, like, comes from. They're like, hey, we're not trying to boss you around, just don't fucking leave us alone down here and whatever, you
know? In the show, they're very much like, we love to eat, we love to drink, we love to fuck. We don't care about like the politics in life, that's boring. We want the pleasures in life, and where they live, it's always warm, it's always beautiful. They have the finest, like, a lot of the wines, whenever the highborns are like, oh, this is a Dorne import.
Okay.
It's the good shit, you know.
So. The
it's
good like, shit, dude.
Yeah. The geography and the people kind of look. It's like a North African kingdom, right? It's the Egypt, finest sort of.
The finest crack cocaine imported from Dorne, my lord.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'll take a noodle.
There's multiple, and sexuality is very free there too. Like, people don't get hung up on like having to be a man and a woman. It's just like anyone can fuck. You know, so,
that's true. Anyone can fuck.
Yeah, well, we won't stop you.
and neither will the Dornish. That's the most important part.
No, they'll fill your cup and say go for it. You know, they might join in. Yeah.
That's where they got that sarcastic looking tree now, is in Dorne. He's just like winking at everybody constantly.
He's like, he's got two little finger gun hands.
The branches.
Yeah. He's got some like oil lord name on their face, like Tywin Lannister written on the face, because he had so much money to blow on.
It's simping,
yeah, exactly. So yeah, the Andals took over. the old gods were pushed far north. This is when all the weirwoods were getting cut down, and it's the reason why the old gods are strongest in the north now, is because the Andals pushed them
where the north. Trees are. Yeah,
it's funny how they have like no way of defending themselves. They didn't like. Maybe I was just thinking of like Avatar, where the planet just summons help from nature, basically, to defend against the industry. But the old gods, the werewoods, are just completely helpless. There's no Ents, I guess, Lord of the Rings wise, right? There's no shepherd.
Yeah, I don't know. I see a lot like Native American people who are here, like they're just defenseless. And maybe their ideologies, if everybody believed that way, would lead to a nicer, more peaceful place. Because they don't want to fight and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, or they're not willing to step on somebody else's neck to get to like gain 6 inches or whatever, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think this ties back to the low fantasy, like they're gods, but they're like limited by what they can do in like so many ways, and like maybe they don't even exist at all. And this is just like the word of man, like worshiping them and saying that the gods do exist, but we don't really know.
So yeah, like, you like have a good harvest and credit to the weirwood, basically.
Yeah. If this was high fantasy, like absolutely there'd be like curses and plagues and like all this other stuff like springing up as a result of like cutting down these trees. But since it's low fantasy, it's kind of like, well, nothing really happens when you piss off a god.
Exactly.
Other than you piss off its followers, right? Who are these peaceful Bronze Age folks. So.
Yeah. Like the guy whose sword lights on fire when he's going into battle and is brought back to life. Like that could have been a guy who is like stabbed and no one had seen someone survive this type of thing, and he just kind of was nursed back to health,
right?
And then everyone's, whoa, he brought back to life by the Lord of the Flame or whatever, and maybe he lit his fire once on a sword as a party trick, and then everybody said it enough times. So the faith of the Seven says that there's only one god, so the old gods are like infinitely many. The faith of the Seven is just the one.
That's got to be very curious for like, if you send in your like Andal Jesuits to try and convert the natives, it's just like, well, we worship the Seven, but it's one guy. It's like, well, then why are we called the Seven? It's like, it's one guy. We call him the Seven. He's got seven faces, right?
Yeah.
So the way that probably someone who's trying to turn someone would say is, well, think of it as a seven-pointed star, which is what the symbol is.
Okay.
And each point represents a different part of existence. It is all one god, but it's all expressed in different ways, right?
It's like the Holy Trinity, right? Where they're all the same person.
Okay. Well, yeah, it starts with the Father.
So, I was thinking it's just like someone didn't want to get murdered by crusaders, and it's just like, hey, you polytheistic? He's like, we worship the Sevens because he's seven ideas. It's just the one, actually. Okay, it's just like quickly throwing together a drawing of a like regular god with seven faces around his head.
Yeah, so the faith of the Seven, there's like seven stars. You might remember if you watched into the later seasons where it kind of strays from the books that one of the Lannister kids ends up with like a seven star carved into his forehead, and he throws his mother in jail for being a sinner.
The pilled cousin comes back, basically.
And his own mother has to walk all the way through King's Landing from complete peasantville to all the way up on that hill back home on the in the castle, completely naked. And all the peasants are throwing like feces on her, piss on her, anything, and just going, shame, shame. And that became a meme for a little while around the time that episode came up. But yeah.
Also, I remember the big church is called the Sept, which makes sense because S-E-P-T is set. It's French for seven.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it starts off with the Father, which represents divine justice, and he judges the soul of the dead. That's one. Two is the Mother, and it represents mercy, peace, fertility, childbirth. She's sometimes referred to as the strength of women.
Okay.
Yep. Next up, the Maiden.
Uncle Jim. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Maiden. It represents purity, innocence, love, and beauty. Then there's the Crone, wisdom and foresight. Represented as carrying a lantern, seeing the way forward. The Warrior represents strength and courage in battle. The Smith represents creation and craftsmanship. And the Stranger represents sitting on your hand and then jerking off once it goes down. No.
That's what got that cousin pilled, basically. He was out smoking weed with one of the maesters. He's just like, hey, I got a divine secret for you. And then and he's just like in the cult from now on.
Yeah. It's like that Danny DeVito meme. Yeah. Danny DeVito meme where it's zooming in on him and his eyes are like watering. He's like, I see it now. Yeah. It just sits on his hand once. Yeah.
Doesn't take a lot to convince men to join a cult, honestly.
No, yeah. The stranger represents death and the unknown. It's rarely prayed to, but it's like the sad side of the seven, I guess.
Okay.
So we got the father, mother, maiden, crone, warrior, smith, and stranger. You see the seven-pointed star everywhere, but everyone kind of prays to their section of it when they need it. So if you're about to fight the battle of the Black Bay, I forget what it is.
Sure.
Anyways. You start to fight a battle. The warrior, you would pray to the warrior. If
you're wandering alone at night, you're going to pray to the crone because she's got a lantern.
And hopefully exactly. She
gives you her lantern.
Yeah, if you're going to court the next day, you'd pray to the father for divine justice. If you're trying to have a baby, the mother, et cetera, et cetera.
If or the stranger. Not to have a baby, the stranger.
Yeah. Or if you're trying to have a baby, the stranger. I mean, that's kind of what happened to Joseph, right?
That's true. Yeah.
a stranger showed up, knocked up his wife, and the rest is history, right? 2000 years of the Dark Knight. Yeah.
There's one abortion in the show through dark magic to save the horse lord dude, the Khaleesi.
Right.
Oh, I forget the horse dude, Khal Drogo, that's it. Yeah, the call. And Dany wanted to bring her back so much that she made a deal with a witch, which killed her own child and brought back Khal Drogo.
It's not an abortion; it was a miscarriage.
Because
they used magic and killed the baby.
He came back as a soy jack, right?
Yeah.
Was a Chad, and he came back as a soy jack.
Yeah.
Because the baby apparently like came out, but was all scaly and fell apart, I think was a line in the show.
Oh, right. But in the end, that's what leads to her birthing her three dragons and everything. So
yeah,
all's well that ends well. But yeah, so the seven, like I said, it's all one god composed of the seven persons. They're all the same star. It's weird. It's they're all one, but they're all separate, but they're all one. It's like there's no way to really describe it.
It's very Christianity, right? Again, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's all the same. It's three forms of the same person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's monotheism. It's one God represents all the aspects of life, and these people were creative enough to come up with seven things in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seven simple rules for dating my daughter.
Yeah. I liked when Merica turned into God and had sex with herself.
That is the best part.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're kind of coming to the end of the religion bit. So 300 years before the novels begin, the Targaryen dragon lord Aegon the Conqueror and his two sister wives Visenya and Rhaenys, whose ancestors migrated to Valyria from Valyria to Dragonstone a century prior, and they invaded the Westerosi mainland and landed the army at the mouth of the Blackwater Rush. So Blackwater Bay, the one that I was thinking of, is much, much later than this, but it's the same place.
Is Valyria another continent? Because I've heard of Valyria in the show.
The Valyrian Freehold is a country on Essos, apparently.
That's what I was going to guess. So this is where House of Dragons happens. So if you pick up season one, House of Dragons, you pretty much start after all this war, Bronze Age move in, there's a war, then they agree, then Iron Age moves in, there's a war. Then eventually they fight enough until they more or less agree. And then Dragonfire moves in and that beats Iron Age.
Right.
Dragon Age Inquisition happens. Exactly. Yeah. And they come in and they unify Westeros to a point where they'd never been unified before. Because if there's a threat of a dragon, you might behave a little better if you've seen someone burnt alive by a dragon, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Game of Thrones is not worth being incinerated by a dragon over, right?
No, it's not. But some people think it is because they end up that happens to them. But I think Samwell Tarly's dad actually ends up getting killed by Dragonfire in a trial for Daenerys. And it's one of those moments where you're like, did Daenerys need to really kill that guy? Like, burn him alive? But
Let's show Daenerys again. Like, this is post books. Who knows what she would have done if an author had written it, sort of thing.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. So House of Dragons is all happening here, during which Targaryens built the Iron Throne, forged from the swords of their defeated enemies by Dragonfire. So all the Undull's iron swords are bent and twisted into this really uncomfortable looking throne, because it's supposed to be uncomfortable to sit on because everyone wants to kill you while you're on it.
Right.
And they annexed land regions of the Riverlands, the Stormlands around Blackwater Bay. They created the Crownlands where King's Landing is. And House Targaryen ruled as a sole monarchy for the Seven Kingdoms for almost three centuries until overthrown by a rebellion led by Robert Baratheon. So these three centuries where the Targaryens rule, if you're interested in this, you can look up The Dance of Dragons. There's like a great video that's about 25 minutes long on YouTube, and it'll take you through the entire Dance of Dragons, which is the entire storyline for House of Dragons, by the way. So don't watch it if you don't want that spoiled. But basically all the meat of the story can be told in 25 minutes, even though you're going to have hours and hours in the season.
It's not like a one season and done House of Dragons, right? Like, they are planning multiple seasons.
Yeah, they got, of the 25 minute video, I think they got up to about the like 6 or 7 minute mark in the first season.
Okay. And I'm fine with them taking their time with it if it's going to be a good show, right? Like, in theory, like, I mean, fine with it. In the sense that I'm never going to watch it anyway, because if a show goes over three seasons, like, I can't do it. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm an exception for Legend of Korra, but that's about it. Yeah. Like,
well, if you want the, here's the spark notes. The Targaryens, who have all of the dragons in the world, which is like close to 20 at this time, will just war amongst themselves until there's no dragons left.
Gotcha.
That's pretty much what happens. It's like the time of the most peace because of all the nukes kind of get set off. So it's very exciting. And there's a lot of drama and back and forth of war in these 300 years.
Which I've heard another thing. Speaking of nukes, are you going to talk about Valyria at all?
No, this is... I don't even have it. We're all out of script.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because Valyria gets completely destroyed at some point, which is like some people theorize, because I've seen a couple like lore videos on Game of Thrones, even though like I didn't like the way, nobody liked the way the show ended. But like Valyria, like some theory that maybe we can get into on another episode is that like the Targaryens started their dragon crusade because they were warring with themselves and annihilated their homeland, and it just like sank into a volcanic sea or something like that.
Oh shit.
So they like nuked themselves and took their residual dragons to go like conquer because they needed farmland or something.
Yeah. They're very like hot blooded. They all kind of think they're the best and they deserve more than the person across from them. And they have a lot of power, and it's a very dangerous kind of group of circumstances.
Aegon and his sister wives, right?
Yeah. You start off with one of Aemon's or Aegon's of much later, like not the one that conquered, but he's one that just sat on the throne, and he like passed all the right policies, and he was just a good politician, and there was like peace forever. And that's kind of how House of Dragons starts, is he's dying. And he wants his daughter to be the next queen, but he had a second marriage where there's sons. So it kind of gets messy on who's the next to take this. Like, all the old lords say, well, boys are supposed to be kings. And then, but this guy already met with all of the lords of the area and been like, when I die, it goes to my daughter.
Yeah.
My only true daughter, but
politically it's boys rule, girls drool, right? As this is the medieval time.
Watch House of Dragons to figure out how that ends, but
Near as I could tell, and this will be an exercise in patience for the listeners, but you guys see Mantaris on the map that Jamie shared. So south of that, there was something called the Valyrian Peninsula, where the Valyrian Freehold was. At some point, something called the Doom happened. The Valyrian Peninsula was 14, it was called the 14 Fires, which was like a chain of 14 different volcanoes. and like a super eruption happened and sank the peninsula into the sea, essentially, and turned it into like an archipelago, and laid waste to the capital. And that was kind of the end of Valyria and the end of a lot of the dragons as well.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, they're cool. There's also some type of like that soft magic or whatever to do with dragons, because by the time all the dragons from the Dance of Dragons go away and the dragons that Daenerys gets, there are some dragons that are born from eggs, but they grow to like the size of a house cat and then die.
Okay.
But when the magic is surging, like with Daenerys like being the mother of dragons, and they can grow to full size, or back in the day,
like a skull inside the castle that you see, and again, this is in the TV show, but there's a skull from ancient time, a dragon skull from ancient times in the castle that is like the size of a semi truck.
Yeah.
Like the size of just the cab, so the body must have been huge.
There is a dragon fight. I won't tell you what happens, but there is a dragon fight in House of Dragons, and if you've watched it, you know what I'm talking about. The one, the dragon, the smaller dragon is 5 times smaller than the other one. That's attacking it.
This is the story of the viper in the mountain again. You already told me this one, Jamie.
Yeah, it's very entertaining, but like just the scale of that, like the fact that a full grown human can ride one, and then this one's 5 times bigger is like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I watched some of the clips because when I found out that some people I knew did like worked on the show, I didn't have an interest in watching it, but watch some of the like dragon stuff, and the dragon you're talking about, the big one, has like ship rigging on the side of it, so like the kind of like checkered like square ropes so that you can climb up on top of it because it's so huge. It's got
that dragon's
the like, ship ladder on it.
It's over 150 years old, where its rider is not even close to that age. Like that dragon has been through multiple riders, been through hundreds of battles. It's like, that's a badass dragon. That's I should look it up now because I've said it so many times, but
it's Big Dragon. We call him Biggie, Big Boy. Call him Big Scales.
It is Valerion.
Yeah, Big Scales. Valerion,
ridden by Prince Aemon. If you that's the eye patch guy. If you didn't know,
The one that I'm talking about here is Balerion for Black Dread, and this is the skull that's in the basement.
Okay. Well, yeah. This one might be related, I guess. But wait, Prince Aemon.
Vhagar. Yeah, found it.
There we go. Vhagar. And Prince Aemon, who's riding it, has an eye patch because he got his eye gouged out, and now he keeps a whole ass sapphire in there, which is
that's pretty cool.
Badass move.
You know, they don't let colorblind people like use fighter jets, but back in medieval times, before the little spot test, you could fly a dragon with an eye patch. There were no rules.
I could just kind of keep mumbling on about what I know for a while, but we might as well save some fun stuff for another episode. So this has been Game of Thrones. Let me know if I don't even know if we'll call it Game of Thrones. Maybe we'll call it Song of Ice and Fire. Maybe House of Dragons lore, because I think that one has the most
SEO. We can talk about it. Yeah, we can talk. Yeah. We can talk. Text in now at 1-800 House of Dragons lore boys to decide what we're going to title this episode.
20 digit phone number.
Some of them, you know, if you have a letter that's like, if it goes like MN, like if you're spelling damn, you could do just like 3-2-6, right? You don't have to do 3-2-6-6 because the M and the N are both on the 6, right? So that works with House of Dragons lore boys too. I'll let you guys figure out how you can get that down to 7 total characters. But
okay, cool. If you want to find
that's
me.
What they worship is the Sept. It's like all their gods plus the area without the area code.
Yeah, they just it's phone numbers without the area code. That's what they're worshiping. Whoa.
Yeah. You do like the rotary phone, like all the way. Oh man, I hate having to dial to the stranger. Yeah. <Take forever. laughs> If you want to find me online, come on by the Discord. The link should be in the comments. We got lots of new folks hanging out. There's conversations going all the time, games going on, coming out. Yeah,
some streams every now and then. Not by us, but some people in the channel will sometimes turn on streams and stuff, hang out. It's good stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
It's good stuff and good times. Pete, what about you? What's going on Instagram?
Oh, just posting things, you know, posting pics. It's about it. Everything else proceeding pretty well. Honestly, everything's going pretty good as far as that. You can check out merch and or request merch. I always forget to plug this. Never managed to fix the link, but if you request it on Discord, sometimes when there's a sale, like 35% off, I'll post it in the announcements channel if you want cheap Lore Boys merch. Or if you see something on Instagram you want to buy.
The link in the description should work. It's just the link on the website that shouldn't work. Which
I can't change navigating there. I figure it out.
Click on everything until you figure it out. Yeah.
We'll be fine. I can barely worship a rotary phone. Okay, I can't change the link on our website.
If you're listening on Spotify right now, like most people, click the link in the description. And it should work just fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dial 1-800-267-2001 for Lore Boys merch. Alarm Force merch.
What's the 800-582-300
Empire
today.
Empire today.
Yeah, that hits the bass note right on that. I remember watching that a lot. Okay.
United Furniture Warehouse, bump, bump. lots of great old jingles, honestly.
Yeah. Selloutvacations.com.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
If you guys want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. The link in the description will work. I suspect the link from the website will also work, but you don't have to go test that. You can just click the link in the description because it's much easier anyway. If you guys want to support the show, we got a couple tiers there. It really helps out. You get some access to some extras and some fun stuff that we do. So check it out. Click. And if you got the cash, check it out. Consider giving. You got to give.
Sub to a tier to take away our tears.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so good at the jingles, damn.
I cry once for every single, I cry one tear for every single person on earth who hasn't subscribed to the Lore Boys podcast, and I'm dead. I died of desiccation. I died of not enough water, too much tears.
Did you know that sad tears have more protein in them than like if you laugh tear or just cried from like wind in your eye? When you're actually sad, it has more protein in it, and apparently it goes down your face slower, so it gives other folks more opportunities to see you cry and present empathy to you.
Interesting.
That is wild.
Evolution would be crazy.
Absolutely, man. The random dialogue options that got us to this point in the end of a BioWare game is just like crazy.
Did you get the slow tier ending or the fast tier ending?
That's the rub is that none of your choices matter in Mass Effect 3. It's always the slow tier ending.
Yeah, Shepard just got wind in his eyes. That was it. Yeah.
So all to say, if you're gonna cry for a lot of people, the sad kind, make sure to get a protein shake in you. You know.
Yeah.
Drink some water. Yeah.
It'll help. If you guys don't trust Patreon, we do have Lore Boys Prime, of course, which we've always had, and we are of course working on a jingle. Jamie's been up late nights practicing his jingle, making a lot of tears, a lot of crying over it. He's been working on a jingle, and we're having sort of a contest because Jamie kind of sucks at this. So we're hoping that somebody in our deck of the dude, I know you do a lot in music production, so maybe you can get it like a sick little jingle for us. Oh, Jamie's walking away. I mean,
Jamie's going to get his accordion.
Okay.
The Lore Boys.
Oh, that's really good, actually.
Lore Boys.
Oh, no, let's use that. Yeah, no problem.
We can call it Boys on the Water.
Lore on the Boys.
I already put the guitar down, or else I would have continued on.
I guess that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys on the Boys.
And we're going to talk about some of the deities, specifically the old gods and the new. Cool. We're not so much going to talk about like the drowned god or the name? Flame.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know any of these people either. So don't worry about us not covering them because I don't know what you're talking about. So I know nothing about Westeros. So.
Don't wait for me to introduce the jokes because it's not going to happen unless I think of something funny along the way. But
I hope you do.
That's never happened.
Yeah. No.
Except for that one about claws.
Clog. I thought about that joke like this morning when I was making breakfast. I was just like, that's why they call it a clog.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.